Support for IPR comes from Corridor Vein Center and Corridor Aesthetics, treatment for varicose veins and spider veins, also providing facial rejuvenation services and treatment for moderate to severe acne. More at Corridor Vein and CorridorAesthetics.com.
It's River to River from IPR News. I'm Ben Kiefer. At the start of this year, Governor Reynolds laid out a plan to reshape Iowa's mental health system, mental health and substance use treatment services in our state. Today, co-host Katarina Sestarek and I talk with mental health advocates, professionals about these proposals. We'll also hear about debate over these measures among lawmakers. Katarina Sestarek is in the State House Law Library today. Hello, Katarina. Welcome.
Hi, Ben.
Before we talk with our guests or start talking with our guests, I'd like to ask you to explain a little bit more about the governor's plan and what lawmakers have done with that in the meantime, how they've reacted. First, let's get back to what the governor had to say about this in her January condition of the state address. She proposed consolidating Iowa's mental health and disability service systems into 7 unified districts that manage both behavioral health and substance use services.
There's still more work to be done. In Iowa, there's little to no coordination between the 13 mental health and 19 substance use regions. And that's a problem because over 25% of adults with serious mental health challenges also suffer from substance use. Our state is filled with capable professionals who care about getting Iowans the support they need. But their talent and dedication are shortchanged by a fractured system that makes coordination almost impossible. To better serve Iowans, I am proposing we combine the 32 different substance use and mental health regions together into 7 new unified behavioral health districts. I'm also proposing to increase support for behavioral health services with a portion of Iowa's opioid settlement. The results will be a greater investment on the ground, improved connectivity between providers, districts, and the state, and most important, treatment delivered to Iowans when and where they need it.
Governor Reynolds from back in January. Katarina, help us understand a little bit more what the governor is proposing.
Right. So this is kind of the next step in. There's been lots of action on mental health and kind of how the services are administered in the past several years. There was a 2018 mental health bill that the governor signed into law. There was a 2019 children's mental health bill that the governor signed into law. At one point, funding was shifted from county property taxes to the state. And now this would kind of be the final step in taking it from something that's kind of run by these regions and into something that's run by the state and these 7 behavioral health districts. And this would also take these multiple sources of funding for mental health and substance use disorder treatment, combine them into one big fund that would then go out to fund these services. And so it's kind of a, as the governor has reorganized other parts of state government, another step of state reorganization as well. But the hope is that it would just make it clearer, a clearer way and a better way for people to get access to the treatment that they need.
Mm-hmm. How have Iowa lawmakers reacted, received this plan, and worked with it?
Well, they've put a pretty big amendment on it, but as I understand, that was worked on with the Reynolds administration, with the Department of Health and Human Services. And so this has gone through committees in both the House and the Senate. In the House recently, there was a unanimous vote to approve the bill. So it definitely has bipartisan support so far, and it just has not yet gotten a vote by the full House or the full Senate.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Representative Joel Fry. He's a Republican from Osceola, floor manager of the bill in the House, in closing comments on HF 2509.
I believe that this is the next right step overall for behavioral health design in the state of Iowa. It was a privilege to sit in the subcommittee and to hear the conversation both from around the table as members, but also from advocates and the lobby. And I believe nearly everybody in this building is supportive of this bill. There is intrepidation, there is question out there around change. I certainly get that. I hear that. I am looking forward, though, to our behavioral health system to continue to take that next step for Iowans.
River to River listeners, join our conversation as we discuss this hour, restructuring Iowa's mental health systems. How has Iowa's mental health system currently made a difference in your life or the life of a loved one, or in your view, failed to provide adequate services? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us river2river@iowapublicradio.org. Let's talk with a couple of mental health professionals here as we discuss this reshaping in the works of Iowa's mental health system. Joining us is May Hinchin, CEO of the East Central Mental Health and Disability Services region. May, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ben. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Bethany Kohotek is with us as well, Director of Marketing and Communications with NAMI Iowa. Bethany, welcome to you.
Thank you for having us.
Let me start with you, May. What is your reaction to the plan and what's been done with it so far?
Well, thank you for asking. So as a mental health and disability services region, and we actually, the East Central region and 9 counties in the East Central part of Iowa, we have actively advocated for the past 2 years to combine mental health and substance use funding and policy in the state of Iowa. So during the governor's condition of the state address, when she announced the plans to integrate the mental health and substance use funding and policy, we were thrilled with that. Certainly we know in Iowa and across our country, people experience both the issues related to mental health services and concurrently substance use concerns. So that is something that I really think that this bill is going to help move our system forward in Iowa, if we can make sure that we are truly integrating that care.
Mm-hmm. To what degree have you been involved and had access in shaping this bill to lawmakers and so forth, May?
Yeah. Well, gosh, I feel like I've been to the Capitol a lot this year, so I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with many of our legislators in the Senate and House leadership on the bill, and Representative Frey on that amendment that you referenced just a few minutes ago. Have had a lot of conversations with both legislators and honestly with the Department of Health and Human Services. They've been great partners with the MHDS regions in the last couple of years leading up to this proposal. As far as the redesign of the system. So I feel like we've been heard and there are changes. You know, like I said, we've strongly advocated for the co-occurring piece as well as the children's services, including more of the children's services in with mental health and the behavioral health system in Iowa. So I feel like our requests to be involved in those spheres has been listened to.
Mm-hmm. May, before we turn to Bethany for her view, what have you noticed in terms of gaps that you would like to see eliminated in terms of healthcare, mental health care services?
Sure. Certainly in Iowa, we have a critical workforce shortage, and the disability services system is not exempt from many other systems, right? So we have providers who are unable to hire or to sustain a stable workforce, which then ultimately impacts the amount of services that people can get. So that's one really big overarching issue that many of our regions have worked with providers in the last few years and offered grants to help providers to get it to a place where they feel like they're more stable in their workforce so that they can offer not only the current services that are in our contract so that we're expecting them to offer, but also to do service development. So service development gets to your question, Ben, about what's missing. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that are missing, of course, I mean, I said it, but continued emphasis on the co-occurring, making sure that services are truly integrated. In Iowa right now, we are siloed in that system. It is actually illegal for the MHDS regions to pay for substance use services out of our funds. And so eliminating that requirement and making sure that the funding and the policy are integrated will go a long way to making sure that people get services. But I also want to talk about services on kind of both ends of the spectrum of people's lifespan. So children's services in 2019, the Iowa legislature passed a bill that gave the MHDS regions responsibility for 13 children's services, and we implemented those over a course of 2 years. And 13 services just really aren't enough to really call it a cohesive system for children's behavioral health care. So we have that end of the spectrum to make sure that we are providing enough services that will not only include prevention, but treatment of behavioral health conditions in children. Mm-hmm. On the other end of that spectrum are Iowans who are aging. And bringing forth through this process the partnerships and the collaboration that we'll do with the area agencies on aging and as Iowa's Aging and Disability Resource Centers helps us to make sure that we're not forgetting about that other age of the lifespan as well.
Mm-hmm. May, thank you for that. And we have a break in a couple minutes. We'll continue on with both of you in a couple minutes. But Bethany, before the break here, what do you have to add to what May has to say from your perspective there at NAMI Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with everything that May said. It's right on point with what NAMI's tracking as well. And NAMI's kind of unique role in the Iowa mental health landscape is to support and elevate the voices of lived experience. So we know that people who live with mental health conditions or who've navigated the mental health system have valuable insights and expertise, and they deserve to be at decision-making tables. And from our point of view, the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services has been really collaborative with advocates and providers throughout this process. They've been responsive to changes that we've requested. And I think is this legislation kind of the end-all be-all to fix Iowa's mental health and substance use challenges? No, but is it a step in the right direction? We think it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Bethany, when we talk about this, give us a sense quickly before we go to break, how many Iowans are in need of these services? How many families, individuals affected in our state?
Yeah, well, I'll emphasize that it's going to be really important for us to continue to prioritize collecting data from every demographic and from Iowans at large. But the information that we have now show that about 1 in 5 Iowans will experience a clinical mental health challenge during any one given year. And that changes based on sort of your demographic and where you live, but it's a significant portion of the population.
Bethany Kohotek is with NAMI Iowa. May Hinchin is with the East Central Mental Health and Disability Services Region CEO there. May and Bethany, please stay put. We'll be back in just a moment. And then we'll also be able to talk with the director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. It's River to River from IPR News.
Support for IPR comes from Corridor Vein Center and Corridor Aesthetics, treatment for varicose veins and spider veins, also providing facial rejuvenation services and treatment for moderate to severe acne. More at Corridor Vein and CorridorAesthetics.com.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of River to River from IPR News, I'm Ben Kiefer. How has Iowa's mental health system made a difference in your life, or the life of a loved one, or in your view, failed to provide adequate services? We're discussing how Iowa's mental health system is being reshaped. The governor had a plan she put forward in January. Lawmakers have been amending that plan, and we're talking with mental health professionals, advocates this hour. Join us, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Bethany Kohotek of NAMI Iowa, May Hinchin with us as well. Bethany, let me ask you about this, because we heard in the last segment about siloed services. For those with a lived experience receiving services, what does that mean? How is that experienced by a loved one or a person needing mental health services when we have this silo effect going on?
That's a great question, and I think it can feel different depending on what your circumstances and also where you live in the state. So we know that a majority of counties in Iowa are considered mental health deserts, which means the ratio of providers to population sort of doesn't meet national best practice standards. We also know that depending on, for example, if you're a rural Iowan, if you're a BIPOC Iowan, if you're an LGBTQ plus Iowan, your access to care might be different and your experience navigating the mental health care system might be different. So we field calls often from people who just don't know which door to enter. Maybe they're experiencing, you know, a child or a partner or a parent's mental health crisis for the first time, and they've never had to navigate the system before, and they're sort of looking for which door to enter. And one thing we like about this legislation is that the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services has kind of said, we want a brightly lit path for Iowans. We want folks to know, just like, you know, if they have a medical concern, you know you can go to an urgent care, you know you can go, you know, you kind of know your path. We want all Iowans to know what path they can navigate through the mental health system to, because it can feel really lonely. There's still stigma attached to seeking help for mental health care. And often that feels isolating when somebody you love is going through a really difficult time. And that's from the initial stages of that all the way through, you know, treatment and recovery.
Mm-hmm. Bethany and May, I'm sure Katarina has a question or two for you. But before that, a quick question to you, May. You know, when we talk about the gaps here, the services not being provided in the best way possible, May, what can you tell us about how Iowa's system ended up as it is today? Can you give us some context there?
Oh gosh, yeah, it's a long history, Ben. So in 1995, the legislature passed a bill that was primarily touted as property tax relief, but it created mental health and disability service system in Iowa, and it created a separate fund within county government. At that time, counties were funding primarily adult mental health and disability services without a local administrator really knowing how the funds were being used and if they were being used appropriately. So in 1995, Senate File 69 created that system and ordered every county in Iowa to have a local administrator. It was called the Central Point of Coordination. And then the property taxes that were specific for mental health and disability services went into that fund. And the local administrator oversaw that fund and approved expenditures out of that. And that system was in place until 2013, when the legislature passed another bill that said, gosh, we're a rural state and we have 99 counties and 99 systems. And as we've already talked about today, right, the system evolves. And at that time, it was determined that 99 different systems or different doors for people to access was not the most efficient in our state. And so they passed the law that said counties must regionalize. And so counties were allowed to self-select. And one of the caveats in the law was that they had to be contiguously touching. And so you'll see, if you ever look at the map for the MHDS regions in the state, they're all of the counties that are in one region will touch one another. So that has been in place for almost 10 years. And now it's time, right, for that next step forward. And as Bethany said, to ensure that services are more equitable across the state. There are certainly in Iowa, the deserts that Bethany talked about, there are also oases. And so how can we ensure that the places that are service rich are expanding their services to the places where they have had a lack of services? And you know, the solution to that is multiple. Telehealth has helped us over the last few years since the pandemic, as well as just the intention and really very focused effort into service development into those areas of the state where there are fewer services than in the more urban populated counties.
Part of this plan is just taking, you know, a bunch of different sources of funding and putting them into one place for mental health and substance use disorder treatment. Bethany, I'm wondering what you think about, you know, the fact that this is taking existing funding and kind of reorganizing it, but not necessarily adding any additional new mental health funding. You know, how do you think that'll work in this new system? And what areas do you think might need more funding if you see that as the issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I almost see them as kind of two separate needs. I see this legislation, at least from kind of an advocate's point of view, as a reorganization of the system, not necessarily a system growth. And we absolutely need both. We need to reorganize the system to make it more efficient, more effective, less duplicative. But we also need growth in terms of resources, reimbursement rates, which the legislature has passed some notable reimbursement rate increases to Medicaid rates for community-based mental health and substance use, to some of our children's mental health services in the past, and we're really grateful for those. As needs increase, though, we will need more. The data that we do have shows that need is increasing, and the funding is going to need to keep pace with that. And so I'm almost looking at this as kind of two separate things. This is sort of rearranging the cards to make them to make it a better hand almost. And then separately, we need to address how we continue to give the system the resources it needs to keep pace with what Iowans really need.
Talking about reshaping Iowa's mental health system. If you'd like to join us, 1-866-780-9100. Also joining May Hinchin and Bethany Kohotek is in our Statehouse Law Library with Katarina Sestarek. We're delighted to have the director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia, join us. Director Garcia, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening along here to what we've been discussing so far this hour. In the broadest brush strokes, I'll just start off by asking you, what are your priorities here? What do you feel needs to be fixed first and foremost?
So really identifying that bright line front door, as I think May just articulated, she hears me say that a lot, is exactly the goal that we're looking for here, a cohesive system. That started with the governor's realignment of our own state agencies. The Iowa Department of Public Health came together with the Iowa Department of Human Services, and we really needed to start there in reorganization. And now we're working our way to those outposts across Iowa that really do serve as those bright line front doors for Iowans to access services.
And when you talk about, you know, that door that would be obvious to people to access services when they're in a time of need, you know, can you just describe, you know, what are some options for that? Like, would it be a certain doctor's office or a place? Like, what place could the, you know, for an average person to understand, could they go to find these services in your vision of this system?
So, Katarina, it's really twofold. We think about navigation services and really clear entry points, but I don't want Iowans to have to think about a boundary map to understand where they go. So the first really significant movement that happens in the shaping of this legislation is we remove those boundaries. Iowans can go to a service provider of their choice, and so we remove that barrier. The second piece is that we add to those brick and mortar locations so that Iowans understand that really clear entry point. And so we're adding, in fact, last week, we submitted to our federal partners an application to bring a new array of services statewide at a state level application called Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinics, CCBHCs is what you'll refer people, hear people refer to them as. And that new brick and mortar serves really comprehensive needs in a behavioral health aspect and really focuses on crisis services as well. And crisis services are an area we need to focus on at the state level.
And so it sounds like from what you're saying, you know, even though there would be these seven districts, I mean, so there would be some sort of boundary, but you're saying it shouldn't operate in a way that would restrict people and how they get services, or how would you describe that?
Precisely. So the administrative service organizations, which would govern those seven areas, are really, think about them as building out access points. So they're responsible for understanding the service array. And as May articulated earlier, really thinking about that evidence-based service development. So that is their role. Their role is not to define a boundary map, but really to focus on ensuring that that continual assessment of what service delivery looks like and those access points exist. And meanwhile, we'll be doing that at the state level as well to ensure that all Iowans have equitable access to services.
Joining us as well as the director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia, we have delighted as well to have Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, a Democrat from Ames. Representative Wessel-Crochelle, thank you for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Give us your input here. The Democrats in the minority here, but this is a bipartisan effort. How do you feel Democrats and you in particular are shaping this overhaul?
I think that mental health services and substance abuse services are a top priority for Iowa House Democrats, and we appreciate the effort that is being put into this bill. We have been saying for a very long time, I think, as the advocates have said, that mental health and substance abuse need to coexist, that we can't treat one without treating the other. And so if there's something that's extremely exciting about this bill, that would be that we are combining those two services and that people will be able to access them altogether. You know, in terms of the redesign of the regions into districts, you know, I think there's some logical reasons for doing some of that, particularly if you look at the map of the regions right now, it looks a little convoluted and hard to understand for even those of us who have been looking at it for many years. Mm. And so I appreciate the simplifying of this. And it does put more power in Des Moines at as a state program. And this is probably, though, one of those things that should be a state program that needs to have the consistency across the state.
And Representative, how do you envision, you know, that door of for Iowans to access services? You know, what do you think would be the ideal situation for someone who is looking for mental health treatment?
That is the, you know, a question that I think we continuously ask. And I hope it becomes very clear in here. You know, we'll have these seven regions and there will be one contact person within all those regions. But that's very similar to what we have had in the past. This is a continuing problem, and I'm not sure that we have a complete answer to that.
And we've talked about already on the show how, you know, there have been many iterations of the mental health systems and how they have changed over the years through the legislature. But, you know, with all that, this is being proposed for a reason. There's still a lot of Iowans who are having trouble getting the treatment that they need for themselves or their kids or other family members. Director Garcia, why do you think the state is in this situation, you know, in your view, and how does this bill address that?
So I think this is a natural iteration of exactly where we should be as a state. So we're building off of a lot of really incredible work that was outlined through May's historical account of how we land here today. But we've had a really cataclysmic event. The pandemic thrust us into a space where we have an outpaced level of need and not enough service provision. And we're not the only state in that space. The nation is facing that, and in some ways the world is. And so this is the next natural iteration. What I want us to focus in on is that our agency did a significant amount of evaluation to get to this point and to recommend to the governor the pathway forward. And the agency will need to continue to do that. So our goal now is to ensure that we as a state agency don't get to a place of stagnation, right? That we are constantly reevaluating what need looks like and proposing those refining points to ensure that we keep pace with growing need.
And we heard from Bethany saying that, you know, this reorganization is important, but that there also needs to be growth in the resources for mental health services. How do you respond to that? You know, do you think the legislature should be putting more funding into mental health along with this reorganization?
So as Bethany indicated, they have. So as in another aspect of our work with the Medicaid agency as well, and we recommended to the governor and the legislature that an investment be made last session in mental health rates, and they did just that, right? So that is really significant. And that's the place where most Iowans receive their behavioral health services is through the Medicaid program. When we're talking about this network, this is for services for otherwise not paid for by the Medicaid program. Do we need more money? Possibly. But right now we're sitting on fund balances. So I need a little bit more time to assess that. But you absolutely should be assured that we will move forward with a recommendation once we make this change and assess what's needed.
And Representative Wessel Crichel, do you agree that, you know, there's remaining funds that haven't been spent? Do you think that needs to be worked through and this reorganization gone through before more funding is put in addition to what was added last year?
I've always thought that the funding formula was a little complex. And one of the exciting parts of this is the regions were given an opportunity to earn more money by meeting certain goals. And that money has kind of just been sitting out there and we haven't been able to use it. Under this program, I think that's a silly way, quite frankly, to address this, because you have $41 million that's just been sitting there and nobody's had access to it when we've needed access to it. So I think by combining all those sources together and not sending up some sort of competition or you can get it if you do this, we are being much more reasonable in how we are addressing the needs of mental health. I mean, I think there are other areas, though, that we haven't addressed. You know, certainly workforce has been brought up in the growth factor. Workforce seems to be one of the biggest issues. I spoke with one woman doing some investigation into this bill who said they built a crisis intervention center up in Northwest Iowa and haven't been able to staff it. So, you know, as hard as they work to try to create these services, if you don't have the workforce to staff it, it doesn't, there's no hope. Another thing that this particular person recommended is more transportation. We are in a rural district and many people who have services don't have a reliable vehicle, and we need to find ways to help them get to where the services are. So I think there are areas that we do need to invest in, which would probably create more dollars. At this point, with having that extra $41 million that will actually be available, I think that is a good start for the services themselves.
We'll be back after a short break with Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, Democrat of Ames, the director of Iowa's Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia. Also, mental health professionals Mae Hinchin and Bethany Kohotek. Join us, 1-866-780-9100. Back in just a moment.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. And rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more River to River from IPR News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We have Mae Hinchin with us and Bethany Kohotek, two mental health professionals weighing in on reshaping Iowa's mental health system, along with Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, a Democrat from Ames, and the director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia. Join us as we discuss restructuring Iowa's mental health systems. How has it affected your life? Perhaps it's failed to do so. What would you suggest as this reshaping of our system is taking place? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. I'd like to dig into a little bit more about the origins of the workforce shortage. Of course, in many sectors of our life, we have a workforce shortage brought out by the pandemic, especially. Director Garcia, how do you see addressing that in this specific area?
So, Ben, I think our agency is taking a really multifaceted approach to thinking about workforce. One of the ways we're thinking about it, and through this legislation as well, is thinking about it as an employer ourselves. We are part of this continuum through our specialized care at our two mental health institutes, and even the Boys State Training School, where we are providing psychological services to young men every day. We're also thinking about the ways that those centers can be a hub to train new professionals. And then this bill, we layer on an aspect where we are able to think about growing, recruiting, training, and keeping staff at all levels, and really thinking about hub and spoke approaches to ensuring that parts of rural Iowa and even micro-urban parts of Iowa have access to specialty care. So this bill really moves forward into that space so that we can think about it. It removes those boundaries and then allows us to access all aspects of the funding, which totals more than $200 million in full, so that we can really think about those ways to prop up those clear pipelines.
One aspect of this bill is also that it would have more uniform data reporting, and it would require a report on the status of mental health, what's going on with mental health outcomes for people in Iowa. Representative Wessel Crichel, you know, how important do you think that is? And do you think we even have a good picture of what's going on in terms of mental health services in Iowa?
I think it's a very good question, particularly where people are accessing their services and how productive those services are, you know, whether they it's short term or long term, or that it requires hospitalization or institutionalization. I think those are all interesting questions, and I don't think we have a lot of data. What I found is data is dispersed all over the state agencies, and it's sometimes very hard to collect that, particularly I've noticed that in juvenile justice areas. So I think it's a really good idea to consolidate our data.
And Director Garcia, how would that, you know, enable the state to improve things, having that, you know, uniform data? Are you able to get enough data right now as things stand?
So I think we have more data than we've ever had as a state. And to the representative's point, it was fractured in multiple parts of state government or at the local level and not at the state level. We have our arms around that now. I mean, even the funding number I just gave you, that's a recent development. The state hasn't had a full line of sight into exactly how much money we're spending in behavioral health outside of the Medicaid program, but we do now. The move in this legislation requires a very, very clear performance measures. That's also not something that's been part of this system thus far. And that next iteration allows us to capture exactly what you're talking about. Couple that with the state agency's regular assessment of what need looks like and gaps in services, and we have a plan so that we can evolve as a state and ensure we're meeting the needs of Iowans.
And I also wanted to ask you specifically about children's mental health. I know the department has been in settlement talks with Disability Rights Iowa about a lack of adequate mental health care for children who get services through Medicaid. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, how do you expect things to change for families with kids with mental health challenges as a result of that? And how does that tie into this bill? What's going on in this bill?
So first and foremost, I want to say what you just toned on is absolutely happening, is that we're thinking about these two systems together. And that's also not something that in our legacy history in the agencies, we did enough of. And so we're thinking about that now. How does this system interplay with the Medicaid program? And so while that lawsuit is aimed at Medicaid eligible children, we're thinking about this move forward and this piece of legislation specifically around crisis. I'll use that as an example. The litigation highlights lack of crisis services. And so as we think about our new districts moving forward, crisis and statewide services, the representative said this earlier in our discussion, you know, not enough Iowans have access statewide to services. We recognize that, and that has to change. So we will see that type of work really threaded throughout this piece of legislation as well in the amendments, really clearly outlining the need for children's services focused on youth, children, adolescents, young adults, seated at the table and thinking about what's right for them and their families, and making sure that those services are delivered in an environment that's home-like, right? So that continues from school and to home and in all natural environments that youth experience.
And there's been a lot of cases where families have had to send their kids out of state to get treatment because they haven't been able to get what they need here. You know, how long will it take to get to a point where that doesn't have to happen as much?
Well, if all things go according to plan, we're having those deep discussions with the legislature this session as well. What we're looking to do as a state agency is to have a specialized network for that higher end out-of-home placement need that really stabilizes youth and allows them to come back home. We've done this specific to foster care and built out a new service this year, just now. And we're looking to do that in kind of upper tiers. And then, as I said earlier, we've specialized our own care at our mental health institutes to provide unique services to young Iowans. And so I think altogether, that's how we get to a space where we're able to bring those Iowans home.
And Representative Wessel Crichel, how do you think this bill does in terms of addressing the need for children's mental health services in Iowa?
So the original bill didn't mention children, which I think was a concern for many of the advocates. The amendment does mention children, and so it is a part of the program. I am seeing some disconnect here in what we're doing in the legislature in terms of children's mental health. I mean, last Thursday we passed a bill that essentially gutted our AEAs, which provide early intervention, crisis intervention for kids. There's a lot of identifying young children even before they start school. We have heard from mothers who were getting, families who were getting services, you know, from birth on, not only for disabilities, but for also for mental health services. So I am concerned about removing that, because schools are where children are, and that's where you're going to start seeing some of the behaviors that the parents haven't seen them before. So actually getting, you know, identifying those kids right away as early as possible, I'm a little concerned. Well, I'm very concerned about losing the services of the AEAs.
If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia, as well as Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle of Ames with us as we talk about reshaping the mental health care system in our state. Joelle, listening, is curious if there are any shifts in reimbursement rates or what's covered by Medicaid in the state. Director Garcia, what can you tell Joelle?
So last year, great question, Joelle, by the way. Last year, the legislature made a pretty historic investment. The governor introduced in her bill a really significant increase in community services for behavioral health, and those sets of providers received a historic level investment last session. Our agency will continue to monitor rate reimbursements. We will provide the legislature with that work and methodology every year, like clockwork, from here on out. And so that'll allow us as a state to ensure that we keep pace with those rates.
Let's go to Betty in Cedar Rapids. Betty called 1-866-780-9100. Betty, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity. I've been in clinical social work for 55 years, as well as an instructor for practice courses in social work. I have both addiction and mental health issues. When I retired, things really shifted in terms of services for me. I had been working with a PACT program, assertive community treatment, for 20 years before that. And my Medicaid stopped. My medications were my responsibility to pay for. I was no longer eligible for that in-home support, and am now, after a long time, trying to piece together what I need. I'm wondering where the voice of older people lie in all of this planning, because there are unique needs as people age that maybe even increase their need for services. That's my question.
Betty in Cedar Rapids, thank you for sharing. Director Garcia, what can you tell Betty?
Betty, what a remarkable question. And thank you for your incredible dedication and for sharing your story with us. I think our change at the state level is now inclusive of lifespan services. So we historically were an agency really heavily focused on serving children and families. And now we have been joined by the Department on Aging. And that move has made a marked shift in our work and ensuring that older Iowans are seated at the table with us just as much as families and children are, or young people are. And in fact, we're going to be launching some summer tours to have town halls and talk to Iowans about what's needed to age successfully. And that work is already embedded in some of our Medicaid work, but we recognize that we need to do a better job of being all-inclusive across age spans. So thank you for recognizing it. And you're going to hear more from us about what that work entails over the next 6 months.
Let's go back to Bethany Kohotek of NAMI, Iowa. Comment on this, Bethany, with your overview from NAMI, Iowa, about the need, especially for aging Iowans here.
Yeah, I love what Director Garcia said, and I loved Betty calling and commenting. It brings up something that we at NAMI talk about a lot, and that's the importance of peers. So this is kind of a different component of what she asked, but you know, she identifies as someone with lived experience, and she's worked very closely with mental health and substance use disorders for many decades. And so, you know, one part of Iowa's workforce challenge could be assisted if we plug peers in at every level of the continuum, from, you know, kind of direct care professionals to crisis response to recovery support. Iowa has a big opportunity, and the department has kind of been leading the way, I think, in figuring out new and innovative ways to make sure that people with lived experience are not only helping to shape policy, but actually, you know, serving in the mental health workforce.
Director Garcia, I also wanted to ask you, part of this is currently it's the mental health and disability services regions. So mental health, substance use combining together, and then the disability services are going to go under your department. How is that going to work? How do you see things changing, if at all, for people who currently get those disability services?
So in really significant ways. And this work is coupled with the work we're doing on our Medicaid program around waiver redesign. So really thinking about the way we support individuals with disabilities of all kinds through our Medicaid program and the seven waivers that we have today. Redesigning that to be more focused on need and not diagnosis. And that's coupled with a build out, which will happen through this legislation, around building out our aging and disability resource centers, also referred to as ADRCs. We have a minimal network today performed by our area agencies on aging. They do amazing work, but they're really heavily focused on aging. And while that's incredibly important, we're leaving families that need access to services on the disability side without a really clear front door in that array. And so we're going to build that out. And when I mentioned the town halls we're going to be doing starting next month, which is in a week, we will be focused on sitting down and talking to communities about what those new entry points look like. It will be full-scale navigation and really focused, again, on ensuring that individuals with disabilities understand where to go and how to navigate this complicated system.
And Representative Wessel-Crichel, you know, what do you think about the disability services going under the department and everything being rearranged in that way?
Right. Well, from what I understand, it's following the federal dollars and the federal guidelines. So I think it's an area that makes sense. And I'm hoping that it brings some clarity. I mean, I'm sure there will be confusion at the beginning, and there always is when there's change. And there are some people I know who are a little worried about the change. But logistically, I think it's probably the right place.
It was mentioned earlier in the hour, telehealth, of course, a hallmark of the COVID period. Director Garcia, in the final minute or so here, what opportunities do you see in building out telehealth? And we know this is so important for mental health treatment because it offers people the chance to have treatment via telehealth, not having to go in anywhere.
It really has. And we're thankful that that is one bright spot from the pandemic that we really learned and leaned into. And so we've held on to that space, allowing telehealth to be billed in our Medicaid program. And we don't intend to change that. In fact, we intend to, I think, lean into it in a slightly different way in thinking about that higher level specialty care. I referenced this earlier in our discussion. You know, it's the way that we can get Iowans clear access to services by not having to travel to Des Moines or Iowa City or over to Omaha if you're on the west side of the state. And so really thinking about how we do that in a model of practice in a way that is very clear to all clinicians and all levels across the state is what comes next in our work.
Yeah, and that really helps rural parts of the state as well, Director.
It does. It absolutely does. It's key for rural parts of the state.
Very quickly, Iowa ranked last in the nation for inpatient psychiatric beds available to treat adults managed by the state. Very quickly before we go, what does this overhaul have to say fix there?
So that is a metric that we can use to look at something, but it's not an all-inclusive metric. It is state-run, state-operated bed capacity. It's not inclusive of all of the bed capacity that we have in the state. So what is our part? Well, I just mentioned that we have specialized our work. So we focus at our Cherokee institution on forensically involved individuals and adults mainly. And then at our Independence institution, we're focused on children and adolescents and really separating out those specialized needs needs, deploying specialized skills to meet those needs, and really thinking about the interplay of behavior and mental health need. And so I think we're headed on the right path. We don't need to focus on the highest end of services, but it is part of the array.
Director of the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Kelly Garcia, thank you for coming in to speak with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also, thanks to Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle, Bethany Kohotak, and May Hinchin. Thank you all for this discussion and for the input we've had from our listeners. On behalf of my co-host, Katarina Sestarek, this program was produced by Caitlin Troutman with help from Maddie Willis and Danny Gere.